I want to study with you today. I don't know if you have the Maamar Kamus printed out. Yechiel is here in Be'er Sheva. I thought maybe I would get him on Skype, but that didn't work out. is the sugya of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. And the first source on your page is the famous sugya of Shofar Shalpara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav. And the question is, why does the Mishnah tell us that you can use the shofar of any animal barring one? And that exceptional case is that of para. And there are two approaches in the sugya. One has to do with the word keren, which means that we need a keren, and the para is not a keren. However, the Gemara offers a second explanation, which is more relevant to us as far as our discussion of today, and that is Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda tells us that there's a principle that a kategor should not become a sanegor. And he says, "Mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas bebigdei zav lifnai v'lifnim lavod havoda." We know that on Yom Kippur there are two categories of avodah. One is bachutz and one is bifnim. And oddly enough, when he goes bifnim, or I should say before he goes bifnim, he removes his big day lavan, and instead he removes his big day zav, and instead he dons the big day lavan to go lifnai v'lifnim. And Rav Chisda says that although that would seem to be counterintuitive, you know, you're going lifnai v'lifnim, you should wear the most glorious, the most beautiful big day kahuna. But nevertheless, we have a principle, says Rav Chisda, called Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Rashi says, why is big day zav kategor? Zav ha'egel. And he says the same thing applies to Shofar Shel Paranami Kategor, the Egel Hu. So again, there's a little bit of a jump here because we're talking about Zav. That's one thing. You know, let's avoid Zav. And that's the Egel HaZav. But now we're going back to the Egel. And we're saying that Shofar Shel Para is excluded because it is not exactly an egel, but it's the para that gives birth to the egel. So we're going a little bit of, like, shall I say, a broader scope. And one of the questions that we'll get to, Amir Tzashem, today is whether or not this is a psul doraisa. You know, Ein Kategor Nasa Saneger is a nice, you know, a nice presentation. It's a svara that Rav Chisda offers, but he doesn't quote any proof. You know, you could always say that we don't know why a Kohen Gadol has to leave out his big day zav when he goes to the lifnim. You know, you can come up with any svara that you like. At the end of the day, it's almost begeder darshinon time of the krah, and we don't know if time of the krah is really compelling to establish a din doraisa. But yet, when you come back to our Mishnah, and you're talking about the psul of shofar shel para for shofar in Rosh Hashanah, you get the impression that we're dealing with a psul doraisa. And if this psul doraisa is predicated on Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, then that principle must be doraisa. So that's one of the issues that we want to take up. But first and foremost, the most prominent issue that we want to address is, what are the conditions necessary to activate, to apply this principle of Ein Kategor? When do we apply it? For example, the Gemara says the following. Vilo, is this really true that a Kategor cannot serve as a Sanegor? Va'ika dam par. You know, you're talking about the par as a Kategor. Well, what about the dam of the par? And we know that the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim had the special par that was brought as part of the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. and the dam of that pyre has to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. This is one of the most important, prominent parts of the Avodah. Why not say Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger? And at this point, the Gemara seems to be ready to broaden the application or the scope of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger even to something that's outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. And the Gemara says, no, this is not a problem, and it doesn't undermine or contradict the principle of Rav Chisda. And why is that? Hol v'ishtene ishtene. So we need is a part of the animal that is original, an original part of the animal in the way it appears, in the way the eye sees the animal. So the eye sees the keren, but the eye doesn't see the dam. And therefore that's called hoil v'ishne. Rashi says, ein maris hapar nikar. When you look at the dam, you have no way of determining that this dam is the dam of a par. So the chefza shel mitzvah is not identical with the kategor. Or the other way around, the kategor is not identical with the chefza shel mitzvah. In the case of shofar, it is, but in the case of dam, it's not. The Gemara goes on and says, Va'ika Aron V'kaporas. We just finished saying that Zav is called a Kategar. And therefore, what about the Aron and the Kaporas? And not only that, the Kruvim were made of Zav. So why not extend Ein Kategar Nasaneger that far? Or alternatively, this should be a contradiction to undermine the principle of Rav Chisda. So the Gemara answers, Chote bal yakriv ka'amrina. It only applies, says Rashi, to the Adam, shelo yakrivenu alom, shehu chatabo. The Kohen, in this case the Kohen Gadol, is coming to be mechaper on Klal Yisrael, and he's wearing big day zav that he can't do. That's bal yakriv. And in the case of the shofar blower, he's coming also to engender the divine compassion and judgment of people. And therefore he, if he holds on to the shofar, is wearing the shofar. I wouldn't say he's wearing the shofar, but he's coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by using the shofar. And this would answer the question of Dam as well. Not only the question of Aron Kaporis and Kruv, which are obviously stationary in that place. No one's wearing them and moving with them. So too, in the case of Dam HaPar, you could say it's not called Yakriv. But most of the Farshim assume that Yakriv would include the Zrikas HaDam as well. That's also on the Yakriv. The Gemara says, now, Va'ika Kaf Umachta, is Chote Bal Yisnoe Kamrinon. We need another element here. We need an element of Noi. Noi means that you're using this object for Noi, and if that object is a Kategor, it cannot serve as a Noi. Whereas Kaf and Machta are only used to, you know, to take the burning incense, but that's not called Noi. And for some reason, the Gemara assumes that not only is Big Day Zav of the Kohen Gadol Noi, but even the shofar is called Noi. And that's a difficult point. Then the Gemara finally asks the following question. If you're telling me that Big Day Zav is a problem, well, what about the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol outside the Kodesh Kedoshim? Ha'ika Big Day Zav mi bachutz. Now the Gemara further whittles down or cuts down the scope of Kategor mi bifnim ka'amrina. So now we need the following conditions. We need, number one, that it be kapara. All these cases are mechaprim. Number two, we need noi. And now we need bifnim. So the Gemara now asks, what about shofar? You know, even if I grant you that shofar for some reason is noi, And I certainly grant you that shofar is for kapara, but what about the third condition? Namely, it's got to be bifnim. And shofar is mibachutz. And the Gemara answers, kevan d'lizichron hu, right? The Torah says, zichron trua, ki bifnim dami. It's as if it goes bifnim. When the shofar blower is blowing the shofar, he is like the Kohen Gadol who's lefnai v'lefnim. Now, if you take a look in the Ritva, which is the second source on your page, he writes, v'shofar nami bolis nos. He's also bothered by our question, why is shofar called noi? And I'm not quite sure what his answer is, but he says, La Hartzos es Adonov. I don't know why shofar is called Lehisnos, and therefore comes on the Baal Yisnoya. La Hartzos, I can understand in the Ritva, because the shofar is a Ritzui. And by the way, the Ritva is very consistent, because in the Perek Lulav HaGozel, he says that the reason why a shofar HaGozel is possible is because shofar comes for Ritzui. Ritzui makes it a kind of an avoda. And the Gemara goes as far as to call it an avoda bifnim, like the Kohen Gadol inside. But why it's called Bal Yisnoer, this I don't know. Rashi here in the Sugya doesn't mention a word about a relationship between shofar and Bal Yisnoer. Rashi might learn that although in the Havamina the Gemara wanted to limit Kategor to Noi, but when the final conclusion comes about and the Gemara says, well, shofar is Kategor because it's Kilifnai Vilifnim Dami, at that point we can drop the ball on Noi, and Noi no longer remains a condition. So Rav Moshe, if I were to ask you to enumerate all the conditions for Ein Kategor Na Sanegor, then according to the Ritva at least, we would have to add to Kapara and Bifnim, Noi, whereas according to Rashi, it would seem that all you need is Kapara and Bifnim. I mean, that's a heavy requirement, but you don't need Noi. And the Nafka Mina is that Rashi doesn't have to bother classifying shofar as Noi. There is no such requirement in order to set up Kategor. Whereas the Ritva insists that shofar somehow is Noi. Now, if I were to ask you about musical sounds, you know, does that beautify something like a Noi? Then if you have your favorite symphony orchestra, you might say that's Noi. I'm not sure exactly why Kol Shofar, according to the Ritva, is such a level of Noi. In any event, the question I want to ask you, which is addressed by the Chidah on page 3 of Yemar Mekomos, is whether or not this din of Kategor Nasa Sanegor is Doraisa. And again, we're not going to go through this entire piece that's a page long of the Chidah, but suffice it to say that in the third paragraph he establishes that the din of Ein Kategor Na Sanegor is a din d'oraisa, and even though it's only a svara, the Gemara doesn't really quote a pasuk for this, nevertheless that svara engenders a din and a psul d'oraisa. Now, you don't have page 8, do you? No. So on page 8, I'll just very quickly summarize one paragraph on... Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I'm sorry. Saying whether it's a din d'oraisa, what is that nogea for? Somebody's going to want to do it? Like, who's going to want to do it? Obviously,
it's going to be pasul midrabanan, but, you know, you're wondering whether or not it should be pasul d'oraisa. And on... if you give me a minute, Joe, just on page 8... what he says here is miguf hasugya nira lechora desvara dzu dien kategor nasa negar vidin do oraisa v'lo drabanon, because the Mishnah apostles a Karen shall para. That doesn't sound like a Rabbanon, right? And he says the following, that even though it's only a tam, the Gemara is giving a reason why the Kohen Gadol couldn't go lifnai v'lifnim with big day zav. Nevertheless, he says tam zehu min haTorah, and mashayach psul derabanan. Why would you add a psul derabanan to a doraisa, to a mitzvah doraisa? That's unusual. And he says, "Hare lamdu svar zumi masha ena kohen gadol nichnas lifnai v'lifnim v'big day zav." That's also a doraisa. And then he quotes here the chida that we mentioned earlier, that it's a din doraisa. But he says lechora tzarich iyun time of the kra. If Rav Chizkiya is giving a tam for the psul of big day zav of Ein Kategor, he says, Ech lomdu mitam zeh halacha mechudesh ezu v'alo kaimalon, we assume lo darshin and time with the crow. Joe, go ahead.
No, I'm just asking, why would anybody want to do it? I mean, what's he going to gain? The whole concept is for kapora, asking for kapora, and it just goes against the
right. But let's say the only shofar you could find, you know, you're out in the wild, you know, and you know you didn't bring your shofar, your local shofar with you. I once bought in Toronto. I once gave a bar mitzvah boy a gift, a shofar, and years later he told me he was still blowing the shofar. You know, it reminds me of the story about the, you know, they asked the rabbi why he's darshaning for such a long time. So he told him the story that they once asked the Baal Tekiah why he keeps blowing and blowing. So the Baal Tekiah says, "I got the shofar in my hand. I'm going to continue blowing it. That's all." But in any event, on page 8, that's what I wanted to point out to you, he asks the fundamental question, how can you come up with a tam? Rav Chizda has a tam. Why the Torah apostles, the big day Zav, with Naivu Lefnim, he comes up with Kategor and Asenegor. How does that engender a Dindo Raisa? So as I said to you before, if it's only the Rabbanan, then in certain extreme circumstances, extenuating, I have nothing else, so I'll blow the shofar shel para. No, it's a psul d'oraisa, it's worthless. So he wants to suggest, based on a Tosas HaRosh in Bab Metzia, I mean, this is fancy v'kiyas, that if you doresh time of the krav vidvarim brurim upshutim, he says, if your drasha and your tam is dvarim pshutim, then you can rely on a halachic, you can come up with halachic principles and nafkaminas based on a tam barer upashut. I honestly would have said something totally different. I would have said that there's something called the svara doraisa. It's not darshin on time of the krah. For example, very often you find in Shas the Gemara says ibay same a krah, ibay same a svara. Obviously, if the Gemara is offering it as an Ibai Seim Svara, it means that's a Svara Do Raisa. Now, for example, if I were to tell you that I'm going to testify that I saw a murder that took place on the corner of 9th and Bathurst, okay, wherever it is, on such a day and such a time, I'm testifying about myself that I was there to see, you know, to see the murder. So in effect, every edus is based on a certain self-reflective testimony. In other words, if you don't accept that my premise that I was there to see the crime in such a place, such time, then there's no edus. So that's called a svara doraisa. I don't need to come up with psukim to prove that a person is believed to say that I was there and I'm not negeya b'dover at a certain place at a certain time. That's why when the Ramban says that Edim Zomimim makes sense, because when the second pair of Edim say you couldn't have been there at that time, we believe the second pair of Edim as opposed to the first pair of Edim, because the first pair of Edim have no right to claim, well, we were there at that time. Then that Ramban has to be understood very carefully, because l'chora we did believe the Edim b'toras Edus that they were there at that time and at that place. Otherwise, you've undermined the whole institution of Edus. The svar of Rav Chisda is that if the Torah accepts Big Day Zav outside the Kodesh Kedoshim and rejects and disqualifies Big Day Zav inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, then I can derive a svar from that there's something possible in Zav in its relationship to the Kodesh Kedoshim. And if I can extrapolate from that conclusions about, you know, any mitzvah that you fulfill inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, that I would say is perhaps a svara d'orais.
But the Aron HaKodesh is all covered in Zav.
Speak a drop louder, Dan.
Pardon me?
If you could speak a drop louder, sorry.
I said in the Kodesh HaKodesh, in the Aron HaKodesh, is all Zav everywhere.
Oh. And therefore, what we're going to have to do is, we're going to have to assume that if the Torah on the one hand disqualifies Big Day Zav for the Kohen Gadol Lifnei V'Lifnim, at the other hand the Torah allows for Zav in the form of the Aron Lifnei V'Lifnim, we're going to have to say that it all depends upon whether or not we have a Kohen who's bringing about Kapara. If he's bringing about Kapara in an active way, and he's using his Big Day Zav, that's a problem. But the Aron, which is a stationary object that's located in the Kodesh Kodashim, and it's not some Kohen bringing Zav in, you know, in order to achieve Kapara, that's not a violation of Ein Kateger Nasi.
That's a much more complex argument than the Mashal with the witness.
Right,
which
right.
Which is self-obvious, isn't it?
Right. So let me ask you, Rabosai, at this point, because I'm looking at the clock and we really have to get to the punchline of today's Shia. If I were to ask you the following question, okay? The greatest kategor is the kategor that brought about death. For example, in the case of the Egel Azov, you know, over 3,000 Jews perished. Supposing, Chas v'Shalom, Reuven uses his hands to murder somebody. Can those hands be used now for Sanegar? Can a Rotseach serve as a Kohen Ha'ove B'Migdash using those same two hands that brought about the death of someone? And this is actually a Gemara in Masechta Brachos, which you'll see on the second page of Yomar Mekomos. And the Gemara establishes, Kol Kohen Shaharigas HaNefesh Lo Yisa Es Kapa, which means that once a Kohen was guilty of murder, then he can no longer be Nosei Kapayim. And there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi, and the pasuk, I'll read to you the entire pasuk if you have the what's called the Torah or Hasholem. The pasuk says, "Ubefarsechem kapechem alim einai mikem gam ki sarbu sfila eneni shomea yedechem damim moleu." Now the question that I want to ask is based on this Gemara, and that is, the pasuk says, "Me'im mizbechi tikachenu amus." Do you remember that pasuk? If you have a chumash, you can open up to Shmos Chaf Aleph. "Me'im mizbechi tikachenu amus." And what does this mean? The Gemara says that Ritzicha, which is the second source on your page, Ritzicha is Docha Avoda the Beis HaMikdash. And what does that mean? That a Kohen who kills a human being, he should not serve. V'dilma hasam lav mishum de Ritzicha dach Avoda el mishum de Gavra hu de lo chazam. And you'll see this in Tosis, Divra Maskil Shenemar, on a second source of your patient, Yevomis Av Zayin Omen Aleph. Afilum Einsham Kohen Acher Roy Lavod, Lavoda, if there's no other coin available, who's Roy for Avoda, Shavoda Nidches, Vim Tomer Vidilma Hosam, Lav Mishum Dirtzicha Dachya Avoda, Ela Mishum de Gavra Hudelo Chazi. And why is it a Gavra de Lo Chazi? Kidaminon Kohen Shaharag Nefesh Lo Yisas Kapov Shenemar Yedechem Domi Mole Vikoshkein Avoda. So Tos has the following Kalvachomer. He says, if a Kohen is not allowed to be nosei es kapov because of his ritzicha, and that was the sugyan brachos that we saw, then how much more so should the kohen be excluded from avoda? And therefore, a kohen shaharges hanefesh is pasul liavoda. So the Gemara says that ritzicha is docha avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, based on the pasuk of Me'im Mizbechit Kechen Olamus. So therefore, a Kohen who killed a person shouldn't be an Oved. So Tosus wants to know, maybe it has nothing to do with the fact that Ritzicha is Docha Avoda, right? The Gemara based it on the fact that Ritzicha is Docha Avoda. Maybe it's predicated on the fact that he's a Gavra Delo Chazi. So let's look at Tosfos. He offers two answers. That's what I wanted to get to. The Eshlomar, Tosfos' first answer is that Al Karchach Gavra Chazi Di Ein Mechal Avoda Di Men Mizbechi Lo Me Al Mizbechi Lo Yisa Es Kapov Chumra Bi Almahu. Wow. Tosus says that the disqualification of a Kohen who is responsible for murder for Nesias Kapayim, which again the Gemara seems to derive from a pasuk in Yeshaya, that's only a Chumra B'Alma. Second answer, Tosus, Dafka Lo Yisa Es Kapov. The reason why the Kohen Shenosei Shesharges HaNefesh is possible when Asiyas Kapayim is not going to necessarily have an impact on Avoda, even if you assume it's a Doraisa. Lufi Shahargo Biyado V'Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. In other words, he's saying in his second answer that the Gemara is quoting the pasuk in Yeshaya only as an analogy, so to speak, to prove that this Kohen cannot be Nosei Kapayim, and the pasuk says Yodechem Moleim Moleu, because those very hands brought about a Shvichas Domim. How could those hands now be used to bring the bracha to Klal Yisrael? That is a violation of the principle of Ein Kategar Nasa Sanegar. And it would seem, says the Chidah that we saw on page 3, that the two Terutzim of Tosfos would seem to undermine the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we started with, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah assumes that Ein Kategar Nasa Sanegar is not just a Chumrah, it's a real Psul Doraisa. But on the other hand, the Gemara says it only applies lifnai v'lifnim. Nesias Kapayim is certainly not lifnai v'lifnim. Even in the Mikdash, it wasn't lifnai v'lifnim. But certainly today, when the Gemara establishes in Brachos a koin shargas hanefesh lo yisa kapo, and Tosa wants to say that's based on the principle of ein kategor nasa sanegor, says the Chidah, that absolutely contradicts the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, because the Gemara Rosh Hashanah establishes that the precondition for ein kategor is the fact that it's lifnai v'lifnim. How does Tosfos have the guts, so to speak, the audacity to apply that to the case of Nesias Kapayim? Comes along the Chidah, and this I hold as a breakthrough, to explain Tosfos, and he says, Kishumino v'eino hu atzmo, Oz yesh lachalek bein mibifnim mibachutz. Aval imu atzmo ein lachalek bein bifnim vilachutz. In other words, if I'm blowing a shofar, there's me and there's the shofar. How does that shofar become a kategor? The ultimate kategor is the Kohen Gadol himself, because he's coming in with Big Day Zav. But in the case of the shofar, we can split between the shofar blower and the shofar. Says the Chidah, how does the Gemara upgrade, if you can use that term, the shofar shalpara to the level of a kategor, and if a possible a shofar shalpara, it's because it's lifnai v'lifnim. Once you take the shofar lifnai v'lifnim, that makes the shofar into a kategor. However, if the person himself is the kategor, then it doesn't matter at all whether it's lifnai v'lifnim or bachutz. We apply the principle of ein kategor nas sanegor, and therefore he says, in the case of a Kohen, Shaharag es hanefesh, he himself is the kategor, and he therefore cannot serve as the sanegor, even if it's not lifnai v'lifnim. So what do we see, Rabosei, from this Chidah? We see something fascinating, that we assumed when we learned the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, because we were unaware of this Tosus in Yevamos and unaware of the Chidah for sure, that the Gemara sets up a condition for Kategor, and that precondition is it's got to be Lifnai V'Lifnim, which applies to the case of Kohen Gadol, and by virtue of the Zikaron of Shofar applies to Shofar as well. Now we're saying that requirement of Bifnim only applies to the case of Shofar, because here we're being machalek between the Gavra and the Chefza, and as the Chefza that's serving as a Kategor is not the same as the Gavra, and that's where we need Lifnai V'Lifnim. Again, the Chidah doesn't tell us how Lifnai V'Lifnim operates in this context. However, in the case of a Kohen Gadol who himself personally was responsible for murder, that's called kategor nasa sanegor, even though it's bachutz. And he brings a proof from the Yushalmi in Sukkah. The Yushalmi says that a lulav hagozel is pasul. Why? A stolen lulav li'achar shekibed es hashilton tamchui echad v'nitza mishalo. Aru oy lola zesh and nasa sanigorio kategor. He stole a lulav. Now he wants to use it as a mitzvah of lekachtem lachem. The Yerushalmi compares this to a case of someone who's going to steal from the shilton and then use that very stolen goods to be mechabe the shilton. And Yerushalmi concludes by saying, nase sanegor kategor. How could he do it? Now, in the case of a lulav, we're not talking about lifnai v'lifnim, and yet, the Yerushalmi at least applies the principle of ein kategor nase sanegor to the stolen shofar. Says the Chida, you see clearly according to Yerushalmi that the requirement of Bifnim is completely dropped. Netil Sulav is Bachutz. But the answer is, he says, that Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger Gam Bidvarim Shelo Nasim Bifnim. When the Gavra himself is holding on to the Lulav with his hands, right, and he stole with these hands this lulav, then we apply the principle of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneg. Now, Rabosai, I have a problem with this chidah, because I understand in the case with the Kohen murdered someone with his hands, then the chidah is right, Hu Atzmo Nasa Kateger. But in the case of the stolen lulav, I don't know if you could say who atzmo nasa kategor. The kategor here, the kategor is. Let me just think this out. The sanegor is the lulav, and the. I don't know. What would you say? Where is the kategor? Is the lulav itself a kategor, or the person who stole the lulav is a kategor? What?
Both of them would be considered part of this action. If he was going to,
well, why not say no? Only the gavra who stole the lulav, he's the kategor. Like the case where he killed someone with his hands, that's a kategor.
But the concept, the item itself, is been used. We know, a shore that's been used for avodah zarah. You can't use it. What's the question? He hasn't done, but he himself has been puzzled by the fact of by being part of this action.
Well, wait a second, Joe. I'm not sure if I agree with your analogy. I agree with you that a shore hanevad is puzzled lemigdash. But that's because the special category called avodah zarah, meaning you can't serve Hashem and then serve the idol. You know, to say you're using the same service for both God and lahavdil, you know, your other gods. That's a psul of Mos. That's Moslem is bad. But
okay.
I don't know if I would apply the principle. I'm just giving you my gut reaction to of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar to the case of a stolen shofar. If the Yerushalmi is using Ein Kateger Nasa Neger to passel a stolen lulav in this case, then it might just mean that the Yerushalmi drops the requirement of Lefnai V'Lefnim. The Chido wants to say no. The reason why you don't need the Lefnai V'Lefnim is because Hu Atzmo Nasa Kateger. And it sounds like he's saying that the lulav itself becomes a Kateger. I wouldn't say that. I would say the person who stole it is the kategor. Maybe since the lekicha is biyadayim, maybe that could perhaps explain the Yerushalmi. The lekicha of lulav v'lekachtem lachem means biyadayim. And you have to know what happens if I can juggle a lulav on my head. You know, what do they call it? Well, what's the word for carrying things on your head? Is there a word for that? No? Okay. Anyway, if let's say I could carry a lulav on my head or coming out of my ears, I don't know what, you know, like they do in chasanas, all these, would that be a mitzvah of lekachtem lachem? But maybe it means that this lekicha biyadayim, which implemented a maisa gzela, that cannot now come as a lekicha biyadayim. No, that doesn't make sense what I'm saying. Maybe it could make sense. Wait a minute. He took this lulav. This was the lulav that he stole.
That's right.
So he stole this lulav. Now he's taking this lulav with the same yadayim that he stole it with and using it for a mitzvah lekachtem lachem. That's already kategor nasa sanegor. Again, you have to assume that lulav is a sanegor. I mean, that's the purpose of the mitzvah. Now, how do we know such a thing? I mean, lechora, it's based on nanuim. But the Gemara says me to agbe nafik be. So we really got to get into heavy issues about what the name. But assuming that lulav has the element of kapara to it, and it's machaper, it's a ritzui, then you cannot steal a lulav and use it for ritzui because of the principle of ein kategar nasa sanegu. Now, let me ask you the following question. What if this Kohen who killed someone does tshuva? So if you take a look at the Machaber in Shulchan Aruch, which I don't know if you have it, it's on page 4, on page 6, excuse me.
Well, 1 second, doesn't the Kohen, every Yom Kippur, he asks for kapara before he goes in?
No. Right, so I'm just asking, can a Kohen who killed someone do tshuva and then duchen? You know the answer to that question? I don't know the answer to that.
No, I'm asking the question. Every Yom Kippur, you're saying he's a murderer. Kohen Gadol can't go in, right? He can't do anything. Before he does any of the avoda, he does smicha and he asks for kapara on his averas, and yet we're saying that he can't do anything. Does that not answer your question?
What do you mean? What are we talking about? We're talking about Big Day Zav? What are we talking about? Big Day Zav?
You're saying he murdered with the... He can't use his hands for anything.
For duchening, we're talking about. And Tosis...
You say we talked about in the basement...
No, so that's what we said, that Tosis rejects that. Tosis says that that the Gemara doesn't use the logic of Ein Kategar Nasa Negor as far as Avoda... On the Mikdash, it only specifically hones in on Nesias Kapayim. So my question to you is, a Kohen that killed somebody, that murdered someone, is he allowed to be Noseas Kapa? And the answer is no, but what if he did Tshuva? Can the Tshuva in any way convert his Yodayim back into a state of Sanegar? Lechara, these Yodayim, you know, you can't bring the dead victim back to life. So the Yodayim were a Kategar and remain a Kategar. Tshuva is very nice if you want to tell the Kohen to go into, you know, to get accepted into Olam Abba, but I don't know if he could change his hands. So that's what the Mechaber Paskins in Hilchas Nesias Kapayim. This is Simon Kuf Chaf Ches Sif Lamed He Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh Afilu B'Shogeg Lo Yisa Es Kapov Afilu Asa Tshuva. Even if he does Tshuva. Now, if that be the case, then this halacha of Ein Kategar Nasa Saneger in terms of a Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh has nothing to do with rishus. If it has to do with rishus, then clearly tshuva would remove rishus. But it's a different din. It's a din that a kategor can't be a sanegor. Period. These yadayim, no matter how much tshuva he does, and he removes his shame rush, and he becomes a tzadik gamur. And you know, up in the next world, he'll get, you know, get the best seat in the house. But nevertheless, the Yadayim are still Kategar, and that's a psul in the Yadayim. And therefore, the Mechaber extends this psul of Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh even beyond tshuva. Says the Mishnah Bura, Vitam. What's the reason for it? The Sfirle. The Achal Pishen Lecha Dover Omid B'Thnei Atshuva Mikomakom Ein Kategar Nasa Sanegar To Be Yadayim Elu Hargas HaNefesh V'Eina Yadayim Ru'uyim Lisa As Kapov Achal Pisha Asa Tshuva. So frankly speaking, I don't understand the Ramah here. The Ramah comments on the Shulchan Aruch and he writes Yesh Omrim Dim Asa Tshuva Nose Es Kapov. Why? If Ein Kategar Nasa Sanegar, how could he possibly do it? So let me ask you the following question. A person is in a car accident, Nebuch. A Kohen actually kills someone in a car accident. He does tshuva. Can he duchen? Well, the Mechaber, I think, would say no, whereas the Ramo would say yes. And that's pretty wild. And if I could take this one step further, I would ask you about the following question. A soldier who killed someone on the battlefield, is he allowed a duchen if he's a Kohen? I mean, Kohen, in this country, Kohenim serve in the army. I assume that's true in your, I don't know, your country doesn't even have an army. Do they have an army? Oh, there is a Canadian army?
Oh, okay.
I'm not joking. I was a Canadian for 2 years. I don't think I ever saw a soldier. In this country, you can't go 2 minutes without seeing a soldier.
You go to Afghanistan, you'll see them.
And if he's a lone soldier, we're probably supporting him here in the Lone Soldier Center. Anyway.
Good plug.
A little plug there. Okay, okay, Joe. You're going to pay for this. Don't worry. No, but seriously, what's the status of a soldier who kills someone?
You're talking about...
And he's a Kohen.
You're talking that he does it on purpose. I mean, what are you saying? You're comparing somebody who in an accident or in a soldier thing. Is that considered like a murder? Is that considered a murderer?
But again, if you're talking about rishus, then Adarabba, this Kohen who's a chayal in Tzal is not a Rasha, he's a tzaddik. I mean, he's. But we're not talking about rishus. How do I know we're not talking about rishus? Because even if he did tshuva, the Mechaber says he can't be nosis kapov. Why? Because enka teger nasis anegar.
That's from the original.
No, I'm just saying. If enka teger nasis anegar means that these hands brought about the death of a person, then even if that person is your arch enemy, that still is called kategar. Is it not? I mean, he killed somebody. You can't deny that.
I have a question.
Just 1 second, David. I'm going to give you the floor in just about one sentence. I'm just saying, but according to the Ramah, you know, then it makes sense. The Ramah is saying if he did tshuva, then you don't look at the Adayim as rishus. He did tshuva. And therefore, in the case of a chayal, there's no rishus. But if you go like the Mechaber, then I think you have a problem, David.
You're saying, so let's say Kohen kills a person in Milchama Sabalik. Right? So you can't do that anymore? Even though Sabalik? It's Mitzvah Mitzvah?
That's what it says. That's what I'm saying here. L'chora, I don't know. It is. If there are the Machaber saying tshuva is not going to help you. What's the difference between someone who kills someone and does tshuva and someone who kills someone when he's allowed to kill someone? But imagine Reuven is coming at me with a gun.
Yeah.
Threatening my life. So Allah is Habola Hargo Khash came Hargo, right? So I kill him in order to save my life.
Even that
is Enka Teger, not Sanegar. The Adayim brought about the death of someone. How can they be a Sanegar? Ira?
The difference is he doesn't need tshuva.
No, but I'm asking you, what's the difference between someone who does need tshuva? Again, he's a tzaddik gomer. A person who does tshuva is a tzaddik. Don't even, you're not allowed to even think or mention to him that he ever did an avera. I'll give you an example. The law is that a Kohen who serves an idol, even if he does tshuva, he can't serve on the Mizbeach. You see that it has nothing to do with rishus. Like Joe said before, the animal was served as avodah zarah. Can't use it on the mizbeach. Why? Is that a penalty, a punishment for the animal? The animal is not guilty of avodah zarah.
There's no black and white with regards to someone who. There's a black and white with regards to avodah zarah. It's not a black and white with someone who kills someone else. That you can use that terminology with regards to his hands. It's not a black and white issue. Definitely, because he killed somebody, then it's considered katega. Why are you making that
again? Term? You know, either Rambam would definitely agree with you. You know, and you're lucky that you're Ashkenazi. Last time I checked, Zeifman doesn't sound like an Iraqi name. But if you were a Sfaradi here, you're in trouble because again, what's the difference? Why is it called kategar if he did tshuva? You want to say that this halach of Ein Kategor only applies because he was a terrible person and he murdered someone and he's guilty and therefore he can't serve and he can't be no se kapai, can't duchen. If you're telling me it's because of the terrible criminal nature of his action, then chach, let him do tshuva. Any halach of rishus, you could have the worst rasha in the world. He's a mumar l'kol ha'Torah kulo. You're like, I always like to tell you the story that my father used to tell about Plisa. There was a kofar in Plisa, where my father came from in Lita. So he used to boast about the fact that he's such a kofar, he violated the entire Torah. So the Rav of Plisa, where my father was born, calls him in. And he says to him, I heard that you made a declaration, the rumor comes back that you violated the entire Torah. So he says, Rabbi, listen, if you can come up with one avera that I haven't violated, I'll violate it right now. So the rabbi says to him, suicide. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, that's that. If a person is a criminal and he denies the Torah, Chas Shalom, or whatever reason he violates the Torah, that's a rasha. But he can do tshuva. And if he's a tshuva, then he's not a rasha. Why is he puzzled for the Sias Kapayim according to the Mechaber? And it's not just the Mechaber. What?
Does tshuva guarantee kapara?
Forget about kapara. I'm talking about a tzaddik. I'm talking about a tzaddik. The man is not a rasha, he's a tzaddik. The Gemara says that if a man says to a woman, Hareat Mekudeshesli Al Menashe Ani Tzaddik, and we know he's a rasha gamur, is chayshina l'kiddushin. Why? Shema hirer tshuva believer. He goes from one extreme to the other. You call him a rasha, and the halacha calls him a tzaddik. So what are you telling me? You're telling me that this guy can't do because he's a Russia? How can you tell me he's a Russia? He did tshuva. Chas v'shalom to call him a Russia. The answer is there's a separate halacha called Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger, and applies even if he does tshuva. Is Memela, if that halacha applies even if he does tshuva, right? Then, Then I would suggest that even if he killed somebody b'shogeg, that's already explicit in the Mechaber. Right, no fault of his own. Imagine a guy jaywalks. I don't know if you have that phrase in Canada. Meaning he crosses a red light, and I hit him, and then he dies. That's shogeg. Okay, maybe there's a difference between shogeg and onus over here. You know, you really have to learn what I just said. I may have overstepped my bounds because you have to really learn the sugyas and makis about who goes to Golus in the Ir Miklat. You know, it may come to the point in which the Narag, you know, he was guilty and therefore I'm completely guiltless. Like I was wondering, the Mechaber writes, Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh Afilu B'Shogeg Lo Yisas Kapov. What if he killed someone Ba'ones? You know, but then again, if you're going to tell me that he killed someone Ba'ones, he can Duchen, then why is someone who does tshuva any different than some? But again, Rabbos, I see we're getting late here, and I know that, you know, Harvey is calling. And so I would just say the following, that if you understand Ein Kateger Nasa Neger, the way the Chidah expands it, and we're going outside of the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and even, certainly of the Kodesh Kadoshim, and if you add that to Tosis, who says that a Kohen who killed someone is posel l'duchenin, l'berchas Kohen, because he of the principle of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar, then you may come to some very, very far-reaching conclusions about the scope of Ein Kateger Nasa Saneger. You know, you're sort of freeing the shackles here and all the conditions that we established in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. And last but not least, there's something I want you to think about, that according to the Mechaber and the Sfaradim, it would seem that a Kohen who does tshuva after he killed someone is nevertheless posel l'duchenin. And again, the Mishnah Berurah here raises a whole other issue about a Kohen who desecrates the Shabbos publicly, because he likewise has a din of a mumar, and maybe he would also, therefore... So what do we do with non-Shomer Shabbos Jews? Should we discourage them, in the case of Kohen, from Duchenin? Because maybe a person who violates the Shabbos publicly has the same status as someone who worships Avodah Zarah, and he certainly is possible in Duchenin. I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah raises that. The Mishnah Berurah assumes, as a Dover Pashut, that a Machal Shabbos for Hesi can't Duchenin. Did that question ever come up in your neck of the woods?
We say Tinoch Shenishba.
Good, he's a Tinoch Shenishba, but what about a Tinoch Shenishba who violates Avodah Zarah? He's possible in the Sias Kapayim. And the Mishnah Berurah wants to extend the Halacha of Avodah Zarah to a person's Machal Shabbos before Hesia. I don't know. Honestly, it really, you'll have to ask Rabbi Silva for his opinion. Where I come from, a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew was encouraged to duchen. Encouraged to duchen, where I come from. And it was not a conservative temple. Don't laugh. I mean it seriously. In a conservative temple, I don't know if you'll find any Kohanim to duchen. But what I mean to say is that if you want to keep a Jew within the fold, especially as a Kohen, well, when does he get a chance to do anything that's religious on behalf of the community? The answer is, let him duchen. No, but the Mishnah Berurah says he can't duchen. Why? Because he has the same status as a Kohen, Sha'avad Avodah Zarah. I don't know. I asked my Rebbe once, and he said that he never saw the Mishnah Berurah, but he said he doesn't understand this Mishnah Berurah. Well, how can you make a sushta? You equate Avodah Zarah with Shabbos? Yeah, Shabbos is a din of a mumah. We can't eat from his shechita, and we can't accept his testimony. He's a machal Shabbos before Hesed. But what's it got to do with duchenin? Duchenin is a separate halacha of avodah. The Gemara equates Nesias Kapayim with avodah. In avodah, there's halacha of avodah zara. Like Joe mentioned before, you have a cow that was worshipped, you know, out in the Hindus. You can't use it on the mizbeah. That's a separate din of avodah zara. To extend that to Shabbos. And Faket, the very fact that tshuva doesn't help, that itself proves that it has nothing to do with mumris, it has nothing to do with rishus, otherwise tshuva should certainly help. It's a separate halacha, whether it's halacha of avodah zarah, or it's halacha of ein kategor nasa sanegar in the case of hareges hanefesh. But to therefore extrapolate that anyone who's considered a mumar should therefore ipso facto be pasul l'duchenin, Who told you such a thing? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote any sources. So as I told you, I always quote my art teacher, Mr. Getter. If he's alive, he's about 150. And he, you know, when we came up after gym, and, you know, we were a little disheveled, and we had art. I mean, we didn't care much about art in those days. So Mr. Getter said, put those strings back into your pants. So one of the guys in the shiur said, but the Mishnah Berurah says. So Getter says, I don't care what you do in Mr. Berurah's class. All right, Rav Osai, I wish you well. Call
so no clear answer, right? Okay, Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach, everyone. Everyone should have a wonderful time.
Bye-bye.
Yes?
Even if somebody did tshuva,
come in, Dan. I'll be with you in a minute. I just think I wanted to ask you one more. No, Dan, I want you to meet a nice guy here who's asking me a question.
All right.
This is Dan Horowitz.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
So I say, even if
what's your name? I'm saying.
What me?
What's your name?
My name is Dan Shalom Walter.
Okay. And I just wanted to introduce one Dan to another Dan. Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
All right. So I'm saying if somebody does tshuva, right, he's a tzadik gamur. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that he got kapar. There are things that only Misa and Isurim, Misa.
Oh, you mean the Gemara at the end of Yuma? Chiluke kapar.
The Kabbalist to say, Milechatila, if this happened to him, even if it was honest, there was some kind of psul or something that's happened to him, that he killed somebody.
Right.
So I can see why he couldn't do it.
Okay, but you can't say it's because of rishus. You're gonna have to come up with new definition.
No.
So I was working, Dan. I was working with two definitions. two definitions. You're offering maybe a third definition. I was operating with either A, it's the rishus that engenders the psul, or B, it's a separate psul in the yadayim, because these yadayim were responsible for the death of someone. You're offering a third possibility that has to do with kapara. In other words, you need a gavra who was already miskaper, and maybe tshuva, although it removes the shame rishus, it doesn't engender kapara. Okay, it's a good point. I don't know. I didn't see anyone who says it, but doesn't mean lo ra'inu ein raya. So Dan, see if you can develop that idea. But I'm just curious, in your neck of the woods, what do they do with a person, a Kohen, who never is Machal Shabbos? Do they allow him to Duchen, or they don't allow him to Duchen?
I don't know. I'm not a Gabbai.
But ask around. Who is the Gabbai, by the way?
Israel Diamond.
Oh, I know Israel Diamond. He's a diamond.
I know what he's doing. He's going and asking the rabbi.
Oh, that's what I wanted to hear. I like Israel Diamond a lot, a real lot, more than you can imagine. I even went to Beis HaTalmud with his brother Jimmy, the professor. But I don't think, with all due respect to Israel Diamond, that on this fundamental issue, he should be calling the shots. I love him as a gabbai. He's a great gabbai. He gave me an aliyah more than once. I owe him a lot. But I think that's something that Rav Weber would have to decide in the shul. And I'm not sure which way Rav Weber would go. If he's, you know, if he's doing what they did in Mr. Brewer's class, then we have to passel this Kohen for duchening. But where I come from, they would allow him to duchen. So I'm very curious to know what the minig is in Rabbi Weber's famous shul. Okay, Rabosa, I don't want to keep him up. Please communicate with me in many different ways, and we'll try to see if we can come to some further, I don't know, conclusion, but at least further analysis of this.